Today, we're digging in with our local District 1 legislators. The Idaho legislature began its 2025 session on just this Monday, January 6. Our legislators will now be down in Boise taking care of the state government's business, making laws and passing budgets for the next 3 months or so. Here in District 1, our legislators are Senator Jim Woodward, Representative Mark Souter, and Representative Cornell Razor. Today, we have interviews with Senator Woodward and Representative Souter. We were not able to get Representative Razor for an interview, but he did provide answers to some questions we emailed him, so we'll be able to give his brief answers to those. But first, we'll kick off with our live interviews, starting with Jim Woodward. That runs for about 18 minutes, and following that will be our interview with Mark Souter for about 18 minutes. We'll conclude with a remark sent in by Cornell Razor, which take just a few minutes. So with that, let's get on to the interviews. We're talking now with Jim Woodward, and he is our senator here for District 1 in the Idaho Legislature. You're just about to go down to Boise, Jim, for the next session. Thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Oh, I appreciate it, Chris. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, this is your second go in the legislature following 2 years off, and you served two terms prior to the most recent term. And I guess my first question would be, how are you preparing for this upcoming session?
I think the preparation is similar. I just know better, how to prepare. So know some of the people, know a lot of the people. Most of the leadership were in the legislature. Those people were in the legislature when I was there last time. Some of them are new to leadership. So we know those personalities and then know more of the people who, the lobbyists, all the interest groups that come and have different issues. So it's easier to see what's coming down the road in the session than in the past, coming in fresh.
Every legislator gets assigned to various committees, and that kind of becomes an area of specialty. What committees will you be assigned to in this next session?
Oh, you bet. That's a great question. So we went down in the beginning of December. We elected leadership and then chose our committees. And so I'll be picking up where I left off a couple of years ago. I'm going to be on the Joint Finance and Appropriations Committee. So that's the Senate Finance Committee and the House Appropriations Committee that we meet together as a joint committee. And I'll be a vice chair of that committee. So I've got the number two spot on the Senate Finance Committee, which is... JFAC is a great spot to be able to see really what's going on across all the issues. It's not a policy committee, but it is the funding of all policy. So all the other committees, state affairs, tax, transportation, whatever comes out of those committees, then we have to take care of the funding in the Joint Finance and Appropriations Committee. So you can keep a pretty good pulse on it. And then the other committee I'll serve on is the Senate Education Committee.
Mm-hmm. Were those the committees you were on previously?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. You mentioned that you've already been talking with leadership. How's leadership different this time versus 2 years ago?
House leadership hasn't changed too much, and it was a pretty straightforward path for most of the people there. The Senate leadership elections this time, more contested than in the past, and I think it worked out well. The four leadership positions in the Senate are the pro tem, who is the leader of the Senate, the majority leader, assistant majority leader, and the caucus chair, the Republican caucus chair, and I think that there's a little bit of a balance in there between the essentially two different schools of thought in the Republican caucus. There is still a divide in both the House and the Senate in the Republican caucus. And I think that the leadership elections show that, and they reflect that balance. So it'll be good to go down and work with those folks.
Are those leadership positions mainly determined by seniority?
No, the leadership positions are a vote amongst ourselves. Mm. So in the Senate now, we have 29 Republicans, 6 Democrats, and so the 29 Republicans, during that first week of December, we get together. People can say, I would like to run for this. I'd like to be considered for this. And then we sit down and vote on those positions.
Were they pretty closely contested this time?
Very much so.
Okay.
Really very, very much so.
And how close were the boats?
We don't see the numbers, but we knew going in, that especially that pro tem position, that it was going to be 15 to 14 or 14 to 15.
No. Okay. As close as they can get. Okay. So, okay. Well, how about other legislators coming in that are new? Is there a big crop of freshmen that'll be totally new to the legislature this time?
There are, because the Senate is 35 members and the House is 70. We have a smaller number in the Senate, but there are definitely some new members coming in. If you look across the state, we had some areas where there was more turnover than in other spots. The Magic Valley, in particular, is one district, all three incumbents lost. So one new senator out of that and two new House members. So there's some new folks coming in. I've gotten to know most of them. Yeah, haven't had a chance to meet all of them in the Senate, but it's that part of our system is turnover because I think it's a good thing to have that turnover because we're all human and we start to carry a little bit of baggage or carry feelings toward people, and so having a fresh start with somebody is a great way to keep the system operating the way it should be, which is sitting down and having a policy discussion and coming up with an answer that is best for all of the people of Idaho. The people I see who are there for a long time, sometimes that turns into a grudge match.
Okay.
That's not necessarily the best for the people of Idaho.
Is there, from up here, we don't really get a ton of news about Boise in the legislature, but the sense is there's a conservative shift that's underway right now.
I think it's kind of at a balance point is the way I feel right now, that we've had some more folks come in who are further to the right, but then we've had some other positions shift back. So I think we're really right at a balance in the Senate for mm-hmm. sure.
And you think the civility will be good within amongst the members?
I sure hope so. That's
you don't know going in, I imagine.
No, you don't. And feelings start to get stronger as the further you get into the session. But the system is designed. We have all these procedural pieces in place that were very formal about who has the floor to talk and time limits. And so the system works pretty well to try and keep the emotion out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who want to watch what's going on there, of course, that the legislative website is always a great way to see the vote counts and you can listen to meeting minutes. The other avenues to track the legislature are the Idaho Capital Sun does mm-hmm. a great job, along with Idaho Ed News. Both of those, idahocapitalsun.com, I believe, and idahoednews.org, you can go on their websites and you can just get a daily or even more than daily tally of what's going on.
Right, yeah. And I will say the legislature site itself has got a ton of information on it. Mm-hmm. You got to be willing to invest some time and dig into it as a citizen, but it's definitely... the information is pretty much all there.
And the other great summary is on Friday evenings, every Friday evening at 8 o'clock on public television, there's a 30-minute program that is a real good recap of the week.
Yeah, Idaho Public Television. okay, so on your two committees that you're assigned to, Joint Finance and Appropriations and Education, do you see some big issues coming before those two?
Well, the big education question that will be back again, this is the fourth or fifth year, is talking about public funds for private education. So you normally hear that called school choice. The question really is, it's a policy question of, are we going to utilize state public funds to pay for or partially pay for private education for those who are not in the public education system? And so that will definitely be up. That's come forward in a number of different proposals. The first time that I saw it, when I was in the legislature previously, it was just a straight up a school voucher. That didn't work. Came back as an education savings account, and the current proposal is a tax credit. And so actually you'll see that the tax committee has got loaded this year, where 2 years ago a bunch of people intentionally went to the education committees to try and shape some policy. This time you can look at the tax committees and see that people have chosen to go there. So watch those a tax credit bill that really is public funding of private education. What are the big parts of that discussion? It comes down to, do we want to go beyond our requirement of our public education system? We have a constitutional obligation that we made amongst ourselves when Idaho was formed. We're going to have a public education system. So the question is, can you take on more, or should we take on more to try and, I guess the question is it fairness that some people's children are being educated with state funds and others not? And so if we want to try and answer that question, then we have to go to still get back to the question then of accountability, because if we're going to spend public money, then you have to have accountability in it. And that's a big hurdle to try and make sure that when that money is going out, it's being used outside. The public education system has many reporting measures and a state agency that oversees it. How do we do that if we're handing out money to people?
Yeah, I think the question here is how much money will that take from public education? If there are vouchers or tax credits given for private education, are there any numbers for that?
Well, the student count is sort of what I've been looking at. So we have about 314,000 Idaho students in public schools in Idaho, whether charter, traditional public, all the different public schools that we fund through the state. And the estimate is there are still about another 40,000 students in private education here in the state of Idaho, either homeschooling or in a private school. And so I think it would be very hard to take money away from the public education system. We already fund at one of the lowest levels in the country and per capita or per student. And so this becomes a question then, if we want to take on more, are we willing to pay more? And where does that money come from? If 314,000 students now add 40,000 more, that's about 12% increase in our obligation. And so do we want to raise school funding by 12% to cover this? And where does that money come from?
Mm-hmm.
Are people willing to do that?
Does any legislation that gets passed relevant to school vouchers or a tax credit have to be signed by the governor?
Yes. Yeah.
And do you know where he stands on the idea of, you know, this public funding for the private education?
Can't
guess.
I'm not going to speak right there.
Okay. All right. Because if it's a highly contested vote within the legislature and he were to veto a bill, then it takes a two-thirds majority to override that.
Yes.
So the governor will be a big factor in what happens next as well. Okay, how about joint finance and appropriations? What do you see might be coming before that committee that would be big?
Well, we have to always balance the budget. So I'm headed down in a few days. The first thing we do is we go down and spend a number of days looking at the economic outlook for the state, because we have to try and project what the revenues will be. So we don't get the advantage of hindsight. So we're going to balance the budget, but first we have to say, here's what revenues will be. And now we create a budget to match that. And then it's the system in place. It allows us to make adjustments throughout the year if our guess, our projection is wrong. That's the first step later this week, is to try and come up with a projection for revenues. And I always like to share that we have been cutting taxes here in the state of Idaho year after year for about 7 or 8 years now. We've cut the income tax rate from 7.4% in about five steps, and we're down now to 5.695. So the income tax rate has been coming down, And the there are people who would like to lower that further. I'm like anyone else. I'd love to minimize my tax load, but I also acknowledge that we have the role of state government, and so if we're changing the percentage, then we're saying if our tax percentage is coming down, we're going to collect less. Then at some point we have to say, well, what are we not going to do? And I'm afraid, actually, my concern is that we're not keeping up with. We don't have the same level of services or safety that we've had in the past. We've doubled the state population in the last 40 years. Mm-hmm. Do we have as many, if we look at how many state troopers do we have on the road, when we have twice as many people on the road, and a lot of those drivers are from places where they drive more aggressively. Mm-hmm. So there are different driving habits out there that I'd like to push that we go back to driving the way we used to in Idaho. And you can look at all the state agencies and the different roles. There are folks frustrated with permitting processes now, with the Department of Environmental Quality, for example. Well, they're having a hard time keeping up because they don't have enough permitting agents. Mm-hmm. And you can look at it even, when you think about different services. We go to the DMV to get something done, and we're frustrated because we have to stand in line. Well, maybe we should have more people to provide those services when we have more people in the state of Idaho. So are we maintaining our quality of life? I guess that's the question I have if we go to talk about cutting taxes more.
Okay, well, that'll be a discussion for us constituents to keep an eye on up here. We only have a couple of minutes left, but are there other big issues you anticipate the overall legislature, maybe outside these committees, will be taking on?
Well, a couple of things that I'd like to see us address. One, the grocery tax credit. We always talk about, some people say we need to eliminate the grocery tax. I say we don't have a grocery tax. We have a tax credit. We just need to keep it up adjusted properly. So I'd like to see us raise the grocery tax credit under the system we have now. The homeowner's exemption has fallen way behind when you look at the homeowner's exemption as compared to the median home value. So I'd like to go after raising the homeowner's exemption. Those are a couple of things on my list. And then the other one that I think an issue that I hope will come up is that we'll go back and take a hard look at the laws we put in place around our doctors and health care for women. One of those key pieces being that the law now says an abortion is allowable in the case of life of a mother, but not health. And so the result of that wording is that we've scared off some of our doctors. And at the end of the day, that's really the question, is how do we continue to function if we're chasing off the people who would take care of us?
Mm-hmm.
And so
particularly been an issue up here in with Modern General Health and our local medical community. Well, Jim Woodward, State Senator for District 1, how do your constituents get in touch with you during the session?
Lots of different ways. The email works well. That's jwoodward@senate.idaho.gov. jwoodward@senate.idaho.gov. My cell phone, people can text me or call. That number is on the state website also. And so email, text, and phone will be up. Mark Sauter and I think Representative Cornell Razor also will be up probably about once a month and holding town halls.
Okay.
And so that'll be a great way to get a
and
chance
we'll
to talk to people.
Promote those out. So when we know those dates, let us know so we can let our listeners know.
We'll definitely do that.
Okay. Jim, thank you for taking time to speak with us.
We're speaking now with Mark Sauter. He is our representative in the Idaho Legislature for District 1. Mark, I want to say thank you for taking time to speak with us.
Oh, my pleasure, and thanks for giving me a chance to talk about the upcoming session, Chris. Thanks.
So, Mark, this is you're just launching into your second term, I believe. Can you reprise for us the committees you're assigned to, both last session and this one? I presume they're the same.
Actually, there's a minor difference. Last session, I was on the Education Committee, the Agriculture Committee, and Judiciary and Rules. This year I'm on this session I'm on education, agriculture, and resources. So a little more standpoint, Bonner's Ferry centric this time with resources and ag for our own. That's a lot of it really is for our area. So I'm happy about that. I requested to be on resources this time and made it this time.
Okay. Well, I can pretty much guess what the education committee deals with. What's the difference between resource and agriculture committees? What kinds of different things do you deal with there?
Mostly for ag, it's, you know, agriculture, farming. But surprisingly, there are some, you know, some other issues, whether it's, you know, veterinary issues, dairy issues. So we'll see some of that stuff. Last year we, and, you know, there's a myriad of different ways you can look at our agriculture industry. It's huge for our state, so it's an important committee. Last year we didn't have anything that controversial, but nonetheless, some important stuff for policy for the agriculture industry. And then resources, a lot of it's land use. Last year we ran a bill for the grizzly bear depredation issues that we had. And then also for water adjudication for the Bonner's Ferry area. And both of those bills went through resources. So this year I'll be more involved in it than before. So I'm looking forward to that as well. So, you know, BLM, Forest Service, IDL, just those kinds of things all run through resources.
Mm-hmm.
So good committee for us.
You mentioned water adjudication for Bonner's Ferry. I believe we had that for the Sandpoint area previously, right?
Yes. Bonner's Ferry, actually, it's the Kootenai River Basin. That's the last area in the state to go through a water adjudication process. So we worked and ran a bill last year to get that started. It takes several years to get through the process, but to get started, it takes an action of the legislature, and last year we got it done.
And refresh me on this one. When you say water adjudication, that's where rural landowners may want to have filed for water rights. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yeah, thanks. I could have just explained that better. Yes, it's first in time, first in right. So those who have used the water first have access to it and have their water rights essentially insured. Those that are next in line and farther down the line are subject to getting their own water rights. So it's very important for farming. We have a residential use option for everyone, so no one's going to get cut out of their individual use for the aquifer. But when it comes to using water for crops or for stock, then it is up to an approval process. So I anticipate the Kootenai River Basin has lots of water, so we don't anticipate anyone having a problem there, but it's good to get all these things nailed down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just kind of a word to the wise to landowners that it might just seem like paperwork, but it could be important paperwork sometime in the future.
Oh, absolutely. Right.
Okay. So do you see big issues coming up for any of these three committees that you're appointed to, which is kind of your, the biggest area that you probably work in while you're down there?
Sure. We'll see what happens with education. The school voucher issue is a big one. It may or may not come through education. If it comes through as a tax credit, then it'll probably go through what's called the Tax and Revenue Committee. It probably will go around the Education Committee. Those kinds of decisions are made by the Speaker and House leadership. So that's not up to the committee to take that on or not. But also the Idaho Launch funding, which was the funding for career tech education for high school graduates, that went through education the last time, but I anticipate there will be some changes and amendments made to that, and we'll see if that goes through education. There has been some discussion about higher ed funding, how much funding the state's going to provide. Right now, they fund about half of it. So we'll see where that goes, if it goes through, if it goes at all, and then if it goes through ed or not. So, and then two other issues for education that really have a are very important for our three school districts is the student funding formula, which is how the school districts get their money based, and it's based on the number of students that attend class, not the number of students that are enrolled. So that'll be a factor. There's a bunch of different issues with the school districts with funding, and one of them is the number of special needs kids that they educate, and how that is funded by the state. And then last but not least, school facilities and the funding for school facilities. Last year, we passed some monumental legislation to start funding, helping school districts with the funding for their facilities, whether to build new or to repair or replace. And and anticipating this year, we'll have some more follow-up work on that, and that may well very go through the education committee.
Yeah, bunch of big issues there. I know that the question of school vouchers came up last year, and I don't think any legislation was approved on that. So am I right on that?
That's correct, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this year could be a school voucher or a tax credit that's provided for, but I know there's debate about using public funds for private education, and there's concerns that doing so might affect the public schools budget. Is that likely
Right.
to be a point of discussion, or if not contention?
I would emphasize the contentiousness of this issue. Our schools, if you talk to our school districts, and the reality is they're not funded completely by the state, and they, a number of the districts rely on levies to really to top off their budgets. And West Bonner County School District and the Bonner's Ferry District, Boundary County District, they've both had problems passing levies, so they really are in a tough position financially. Lake Pend'Oreille School District has a permanent levy that was passed a few years ago, so they're in a better fiscal position. But the question is if vouchers will actually take money away from public ed, or and that's just, we're going to have to see how it plays out, or if that will be a supplement, and the money will come from someplace else. But there's a lot of just there's a lot of animosity built up over some of this, and a lot of strong feelings that children, parents should have the option and have some help with the funding for private education. So we'll see how it all plays out and see what the bills look like as well. So as I always say, is read the bill and let's see where all of this goes instead of speculating.
Another one that you mentioned was the facilities funding. And last year, you said that the legislature approved some monumental funding. And as I recall, that was like a $1.5 billion in new funding for facilities. And in the Lake Pend'Oreille School District, I think they already have received, correct me on this if I'm wrong, they've already received about 15 million that they're going to be using to do improvements or renovations to the middle school.
I believe you're, yes, I think you're correct on that. And I think the number might even creep up a little bit more than that. But yes, they're supposed to get about 15 million. I think West Bonner County gets about 3.5 million, and I think Boundary gets about 5 million. So that's the first, but as I understand it, that's the first time that the state's kind of jumped into this facility funding in decades. So
Yeah, it was a big deal last year.
that's
I
a
remember
very
that.
positive thing.
Okay. So those are some of the things that are likely to come on in your up in your bailiwick, your particular
Right.
committees. What are some of the other big issues you anticipate the overall legislature to take up this year?
Well, there's some, you know, since I've been here now for a few weeks off and on, we'll wait and see what happens with potentially with Medicaid expansion. I know there is some concern in with several of the members of the House that our Medicaid spending has grown much too fast. So I'm sure there'll be a serious look at the Medicaid expansion system and funding. As you know, that went through and that was an initiative process. But we'll see what the legislature comes up with and, again, what the bills look like to work on Medicaid expansion. If it gets a few more, I think here they call them sideboards, or if there's a bill run that tries to curtail Medicaid expansion even more. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. That will likely go through the Health and Welfare Committee, so I won't see it till it's on the floor. I'm hopeful that we're going to run some women's health legislation, that we can get a women's health exception for abortions. And I'm hopeful we can get something like that introduced and heard and get a vote on it. That's one of my top priorities. I'm also hoping that we can get a property tax reform bill introduced and heard and work on the homeowners exemption and to flatten out some of our assessment, have it take place over a few years rather than just a single year, so people don't get that shock of a big increase in their property taxes, to kind of flatten that out some. And then I'd like to see, and I think we will see something about the grocery tax again. There's talk about trying to repeal it. I think really the more conservative way to look at it is to change and increase the deduction for the grocery tax for everybody in Idaho. And I think that may have some a possibility of getting through. So we'll work on that too.
Yeah, that's one that's been under discussion for many sessions, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Well, are you anticipating that the states can have more or less revenue to work with this year? I know they ran surpluses for several years, but those surpluses yeah. have kind of gone away now.
Yeah, and that's it's also a product of we've reduced our sales tax, amount, and we've continued to kind of do tax cuts and to try and reduce that surplus. After all, it doesn't make a lot of sense to have a surplus and then either refund some of it or at the end of the year have a surplus. So we'd like the budget process really is all about trying to get it right, to get the right amount of revenue for the right amount of spending. So we've trimmed back our taxing. I anticipate this year that we'll come in close on having revenues match expenditures. I think we'll be a little bit above with revenues, which is what you want. That's always better than to be short. But I think overall that it's going to be much closer this year than, say, 2 or 3 years ago, where we had a several $100 million in reserve or in surplus. So.
Okay, we have just a few minutes left. Are there any other things you'd like to bring up that you want constituents to know about this upcoming session?
Sure. Well, I have a couple things. If we don't have enough time to talk about how citizens can follow the legislature, but I'm actually going to try and write something for the newspaper in the next week and put it in the paper on so how people can track a bill. And it's not that hard to do. I think once somebody does it, they'll get the hang of it on the state website. But I'd like to make sure people know how to do that. I'll also give my contacts to be out there, so I'll supply those. But first, we'll have some meet and greets. The first one will be January 11th, and that'll be in Priest River, Sandpoint, and Bonners Ferry. Then we'll be back on February 8th. For the same, for all three places, Priest River, Sandpoint, and Bonners Ferry, and then again on March 15th. And if we go longer in the session, we may do another one in early April or even at the end of March. But for right now, it's the three, those three dates that are planned. If someone wants to get
Mark,
a hold
that's
of me,
with all, is that with all three of our legislators?
Well, I don't have that confirmed yet, but I've worked with Jim Woodward on it, and you're going to interview the other guys. And let's see.
Cornell Razor. I'm actually trying to get a hold of him, so it's not guaranteed yet. I haven't gotten him yet, but I'll be sure to ask him that question if I.
Oh yeah. And but Jim and I think those are the three dates that Jim and I plan, and I know we're asking Cornell to go. My email address is msauter@house.idaho.gov. I have a text phone number that people can use. The number is 208-254-1184. And then, like I said, I write periodically. It seems like it's about every week or two. I'll get an article and ask the reader or the bee to run them. And we'll do that as well. And then last but not least, you and I actually talked in the hallway about having some kind of a radio interview and trying to do that during the session. So I know other legislators.
That's on our wish list here at KRFY to get you guys a couple times during the session to give us updates on how things are going and any legislation you think your constituents ought to be keeping an eye on.
Yeah.
And I will say that you mentioned the state website. It really is quite comprehensive. You can get to it if you go to legislature.idaho.gov. .gov, and you can follow bills. And it takes a little practice. So if you're going to give some instructions in one of your columns, Mark, that'd probably be handy.
Yeah.
So, and the session kicks off on Monday, January 6th. We got just 2 minutes left. What kind of pomp and circumstance do you see at that very opening of the legislature?
Usually it's almost a soft open. We'll hear from the governor, kind of gives us a state of the state address afternoon of the 6th. And we'll go from there. That's usually the start. And then usually all of our committees start meeting on Tuesday. And run from there. Really, I mean, once we get there, once it all opens, we'll find out and learn a lot more. It usually starts a little bit slow the first couple of days. Everybody's kind of getting used to everybody else and kicking the tires and slamming doors.
It definitely ramps up towards the end of the session. They go around 3 months. So,
yes.
We'll be watching you guys from up here in North
thanks.
Idaho. Mark Sauter, our District 1 representative in the Idaho Legislature, thanks so much for taking time to talk with us, and we'll catch up again.
Okay, thanks, Chris. I really appreciate your help and really appreciate your support.
We'll conclude today with some information provided by Representative Cornell Razor, who, as we mentioned earlier, wasn't able to participate in an interview. In his December 30th email, he said, "Mixed in with the holidays, family, his personal business, and his new legislative duties, it's just been crazy busy," but he was able to answer some questions from our email. To prepare for this upcoming session, his first as a member of the state's House of Representatives, he's spent time in Boise training, contacting people who have been there, and picking their brains, he says. Plus, he's spent time with the Legislative Services Office learning the process. As for his committees that he's assigned to, they are local government, business, and health and welfare. He anticipates there will be some big decisions in health and welfare, but he has not been apprised of the specific issues just yet. We also asked what he thinks are some of the big issues that the overall legislature might take up this year. And his response, quote, "I have not been made aware of any big issues, just a number of smaller ones. To start with, I will be dealing with vacation of public access roads, welfare for illegal immigrants, and internet infrastructure." To our question about the new crop of legislators that are coming in and whether he expects any changes in directions from the legislature this year, he said, quote, "I think that the legislature will probably move in the same direction as it has been moving the last couple of sessions." To a question about how the state should expend its budget this year, Cornell Razor wrote, quote, "The state generally does a pretty good job of predicting revenues and generally ends up with surpluses. I will be advocating returning excess surpluses to the taxpayers." And finally, about how he hopes to communicate with his constituents, Cornell Razor wrote, "I'm going to fire up a Substack, try to create a decent newsletter, and work on town halls back home. I've given my contact information out liberally, including my phone number and email." And his email for official business is craser, that's C-R-A-S-O-R, at house.idaho.gov. That's .gov. And this concludes our talks and information from our state legislatures. Thanks for listening today, and have a great week.